Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I sure would like for you to stay tuned. This could be, in fact, it may very well be, some of the most important 30 minutes you'll ever hear. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation and inspiration and education, and we always do it without manipulation. I say that every show, so you should understand that by now if you've listened before. That means we don't play games. We're not giving you any human speculation. We're not trying to impress anybody. We're not trying to sell anything. We're not trying to get anybody to join anything. We're just trying to give accurate information that would help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And then if you would like to orient and adjust to the plan, you always have the freedom and the privacy to do that. Compliments of being a free American. We are free Americans today by the grace of God and the sacrifice of many wonderful men and women who've given their lives so that we could have our freedom. And I'm sure many more great Americans will be called on in the future to stand up when it's most needed and lay down what is most valuable so that our freedom may be preserved. As we talk today, I have a special subject that I want to give you, a special information that I want to give you. Recently, I was speaking at a church in Texas, and I brought a message on authority, talking about authority and young people and how they handle authority. I want to give you some bits of that message today, some notes that I used to speak, and hopefully they'll be encouraging to you. But do you know, as I know, when I was driving to Texas to do this, matter of fact, I drive a lot of places that I go that are a one-day trip. I'd rather drive than fly. It's just much simpler sometimes. But do you know, if we're driving down the freeway or down the four-lane, and many of you may have a what we call a radar detector in your car, you may have a fuzz buster in your car, or you may just look over and see a state trooper sitting there on the side of the road, or a police officer sitting on the side of the road, and what's the first thing you do? Well, involuntarily, you step on the brake because you have this response to authority. It's the first thing you do. You wave, you smile, you step on the brake. It's your involuntary response to slow down out of the respect for that police officer, out of that respect for that state trooper. And someone or some event in the past has conditioned you to respect that officer's authority and his ability to write you a ticket if he wants to. And I can assure you it's no fun having to pay a $200 speeding ticket. I haven't gotten one lately. I sure hope I don't. But you know what I'm talking about. I told this group of people in Texas that I was speaking to recently, I remembered hearing about a elderly man who was speeding down the road and stopped by a police officer who told him that within about 10 minutes he was going to be ending his shift. And if he could give a reasonable reason why he shouldn't write him a ticket, then he'd just let him go. And the older man thought for a minute, and he said, well, several years ago, my wife ran off with a police officer. And, sir, I thought it was you bringing her back to me, so I sped up. Yeah, he got off. The officer let him go and said, have a nice day, sir. What I want to talk to you about is authority, the dreaded word. Authority. Where does it start? What is it all about? How do we condition our young people to respect authority and to respond? There are two things. You have to respect authority, and you have to respond to authority. You cannot be antagonistic towards authority, and you cannot react to authority. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to read a passage that I think the Bible clearly lays out why it's important to teach children to respect authority and to respond to authority. Raising children is, in fact, the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. My wife did a great job. I'm not so sure I did a very good job, but I could hear her when I came home. She would say, just wait till your dad gets home. Wait till your dad gets home. And Dad always, like most dads, had to be the enforcer of the rules that were laid down and got violated. But over the years, as I've spoken in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of schools, I've spoke about authority and the need to respect authority and to respond to authority and why you cannot live in a society where there is no authority. And we're going to begin our radio show today with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And we're going to read four verses here. Listen carefully. In Ephesians 6, 1, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." Now verse 4. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord." Now we start out with the first word in that passage, which is children. There are several Greek words for children in the Bible. This particular word is technon, T-E-K-N-O-N, technon. That's the Greek word as we translate it, children, in the English. There are some other words used for a child, like a brephos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S, a brephos, that would be a baby, a young baby. And then there's a napios, that's an infant. And then there's a technon. The technon is like the student without a portfolio. And then there's the teleos, that's the adult son, the teleos. The word used here is technon. Technon would be like a young person who has no portfolio yet, like a child in school. Not a baby, not an infant, but old enough to understand right from wrong. Old enough to have a volition and want to exercise that volition negative to the authority of his or her parents. The next word after children is the word obey. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey. So now we know who Paul has written this to. He has written this to young people at home under the authority of their parents. And we have the word obey. Again, you say, why do you do these Greek words? What is this all about? This is what I believe. Whenever someone teaches the Bible, you know that originally the New Testament was written in the Greek dialect, in what we call the Koine dialect. The Koine was just the common Greek speech. And if you're going to take the Bible and teach the Bible, most seminaries do teach Greek so that pastors can go in and dissect the passages, break them down. Exegetum, we call it, exegesis. Take that passage, pull it apart, and see exactly what it said in the Greek New Testament to see if it lost accuracy or meaning in the English when it was translated. But you'll hear me refer to these words, these Greek words, so that we can nail down exactly what this is. This is a wonderful way to study the Bible. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. It's an important way to study the Bible. It's not taking five verses and putting them all together and then making a comment on those five verses. It's taking one verse, one line, one word, and going through it that way. That's why you may go to some church and they would have a January Bible study and they could teach the whole book of Revelation in a week. And yet you may go to another church where there's a exegetical pastor teaching and it may take him 2 years to teach through the book of Ephesians because he does it line upon line, word upon word, precept upon precept, which means, for example, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we took that verse and taught on it, God, there's a topic, we could teach the doctrine of God. So loved, well, there's the doctrine of love. The world, there's the doctrine of the cosmos. That he gave his son, there's the doctrine of the son. So if I took everything that I could find out about God and put it into a biblical study, and everything that I could find out about the world or the son, you see, it takes quite a while to break it down like that and to build categorical studies based on each word. And that's what I'm going to do with you here today. This word, obey, children, technon, the Greek word, obey. What is the word obey? It's a compound. The word is hupa kuo, hupa kuo. It means to be obedient. It means to submit to legitimate authority. And in this passage, the morphology of this verb is a present active imperative. You say, what does that mean? Do you remember going to the board in school and diagramming your sentences and drawing those little lines down under those verbs? You remember verbs show action. The present active imperative means this. Number one, the durative present means there never is a time when a child is not to obey this mandate. The active voice says the child produces the action of this verb by their own volition. And the imperative mood means that to disobey legitimate authority is a sin. This is a mandate from God. This is not a request. The imperative mood is the mood of mandate. It's the commander's intent. And so when you lie to your parents, or when you disobey your parents, or when you cover up something and don't let your parents know it, you have sinned. A lot of people don't tell young people that, but that's exactly true. And so you can trot them off down to church all you want to, and if they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and they have sin in their life because they've been lying to their mother and dad, well, then the Holy Spirit is quenched, the Holy Spirit is grieved, and no matter what the pastor says or does from the pulpit, it's not going to get into their soul because the Holy Spirit can't do his job until they rebound. Problem-solving device number one, until they confess their sin to God and get back in fellowship. Because the Holy Spirit is the mentor. He's the one that the Lord Jesus Christ sent to teach us all things. And he is the pastor and the Bible that the Holy Spirit uses. So if we have a child out of fellowship because they've been lying to their parents, and now here they are in church or in the choir, yes, they're in the right place, and yes, they're doing the right thing, but they're not going to get anything out of it. The Holy Spirit's not going to be able to do his job. The only thing that may happen to them is they may get convicted or convinced that they have done something wrong. And hopefully they will admit it. So when it says, children, obey your parents, there's the third and fourth word, your parents. And that word is pronounced gonus, parents. Gonus. It is the begetters, the ones who bore you. The ones that created you with God's help, that is. We understand that concept here. Only God gives the soul. Mom and dad can create biological life, but only God can give the soul. So now pay attention. Several years ago, when I was speaking to a group of people, one kid challenged me on this, and he said, look, I don't believe that if you knew my parents, you wouldn't want me to obey them. He hated his parents. He had a real problem with his parents. And so let's get a couple of principles about this. When the Bible says, children, you are under the authority of your parents, or obey your parents, it doesn't mean that God would command you to do something that's impossible. God would not command you to do something that you cannot possibly do. And God would never command you to do something that's unfair. That's not in his character. And here's another principle. God never, and I repeat, God never authorizes any form of child abuse. He does not allow mental abuse. He does not allow verbal abuse. He does not allow sexual abuse. And any child living in the home under the authority of a parent that is abusing them should tell someone, and tell someone quickly, because this is not allowed by God. And I can assure you, many young people are living in abusive homes and abusive situations right now. I meet them all the time as I travel and I speak in schools. Listen to this principle. Overbearing parents. Arrogant parents. Parents that tend to order their children around. They are abusing a child. In verse 4, you're going to see this passage where it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And the word for wrath is an interesting word. It means to exasperate your child or to frustrate your child, maybe by showing favorites or by ignoring them or picking on them. Whatever it is, you frustrate a child. But what would frustrate a child more than anything is unfair authority and unfair discipline. Thus, hateful parents, abusive parents, they are all asking to be chastised by God. The Bible says it'd be better for an abusive parent to have a large rock tied around his neck and to be thrown into the deepest part of the ocean than to harm the hair on the head of a child. The Lord Jesus Christ, one of the strongest rebukes that he gave the disciples That's when they tried to run the children away from him, telling them he was busy. In Matthew 18:10, the Bible says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little children. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." Listen to Matthew 18:6. "Whoever shall offend one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." So here's the principle. And this is a very, very, very interesting principle. Let's say you're a parent, okay? And you have children. One of the first responsibilities you have as a parent is to give your child the gospel message. The principle that I want you to remember is that failing to give your child the gospel message, failing to give your child information about God and about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is tantamount to spiritual child abuse. That's what it is. It's spiritual child abuse when you fail to tell your child about God, God's Word, or God's plan of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are withholding from them something that is phenomenal. The greatest blessing anyone could ever know is to be saved and to have eternal life. And as a parent, you don't tell your child about that. As a parent, you keep quiet and don't speak to them about that. And you assume that someone else is better qualified to talk about it than you are. You're abusing your child spiritually when you fail to give them the gospel. Listen to Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7. I know who it was written to, but there's an application to us as well. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sittest in your house, and when you walkest by the way, and when you liest down, and when you risest up." That's got all that thundering diction of the King James language there. Basically, talk about God's Word every day before they go to bed and when they get up in the morning. In other words, the Word of God should be the first thing your children hear in the morning, and it should be the last thing your children hear at night. Because parents have been entrusted to not only care for the body, but to provide for the soul. Did you hear that? Not only are parents entrusted to care for the body, but to provide for the soul of their children. So it's a twofold responsibility. Care for the body and care for the soul. And how do you care for the soul? By giving spiritual information. These are called norms and standards. As a parent, when you equip your child with norms and standards, well, what is that? Well, the norms, these are things you teach your child about hygiene, and privacy, and property and patriotism. You teach your child norms that they need to know to function in a normal world. And then standards, what is that? Well, these are the standards that they live by, like the Ten Commandments, for example. That's an idea, the standards. But the standards are the Bible, the Word of God. And you teach your child spiritual standards. And this is what governs them, their life. So they have a protection in their soul made up of norms and standards. And that is within the framework of their conscience. And this is what keeps them from self-destructing. When you fail to teach norms and you fail to provide standards, then you're guaranteeing that that child has a possibility of self-destructing. Now, let's move on. If a parent destroys a child's trust, what will the child substitute? And how difficult would it be for that child ever to trust anyone again? So our weapons must be the Word of God, prayer, love, discipline. All of these are part of the spiritual life. And that's what we have to provide for our children. So we have children, obey your parents. Then we have a prepositional phrase in Ephesians 6:1. Listen to it. It's just what it sounds like. In the Lord. In the Lord. This is the prepositional phrase that is the source of obedience for the believing child. For the child who is a Christian, and that's who Paul is writing to here, Christian children, children that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are to be obedient to your parents, and you do it in the Lord. from the strength of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's only way they can do it is, number one, to use the filling of the Holy Spirit, just like I use the filling of the Holy Spirit. As a parent, I have to teach my child how to let the Holy Spirit control his life. That's problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that solve? It solves the problem of a hyperactive old sin nature, because children have old sin natures. And if you don't teach them how to control the old sin nature by walking in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh, then you're going to have a real problem later in life. So you teach your child what the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you teach your child when they're out of fellowship. You teach your child what mental attitude sins are, what sins of the tongue are, what overt sins are. Excuse me. And they begin to recognize that their old sin natures are getting on hyperdrive and acting up, and their volition is wanting to choose against the authority of their parents. So teach your child in the Lord. Children, obey in the Lord. So here's the principle. You might want to write these down. As a child of God, any young person under the authority of their parents has divine protection and divine enablement. Any child under the authority of their parents, whether they are believing parents or unbelieving parents, they have protection and enablement. You say, where did you get this? Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's a wonderful promise right there, that God will never forsake you. Jesus said it himself, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never throw you under the bus. It won't happen. Psalm 37:25, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Now that doesn't mean to be obedient is demeaning. If for a child to be obedient to authority, that's not demeaning to that child. And the Bible doesn't say, first of all, they need to form an opinion, and then if they agree with the parents, they would obey them. That's not what the Bible's saying. There's no qualifying phrase here in these mandates that gives a child the right to be judgmental and assert their opinion over God. You know, they may say, well, I don't like my mom and dad, so I'm not going to obey my mom and dad. Wrong. You see, unlawful commands by parents would nullify any mandate like this. I'll give you an example. If your parents said, we're your mom and dad, we're your authority, and you say, yes, I understand that. They say, okay, we need some money, here's a gun, go rob the grocery store. Well, that's illegal. That's wrong. And so if a child said, no, I'm not going to do that, well, they're not committing sin when their parents try to give them some unlawful command. No child has to obey an unlawful command to break the law and be disobedient to the authority, the higher authority, the authority that's over the parents. So the idea that's being imparted here is to be obedient to authority of your parents and not to react, but to respond. Because sometimes authority is going to make a decision that a young person may not like. And then when that decision is made, they have to decide, will they react or will they respond? And it's true in the business world. It's true in the family world. Decisions are made every day. And you, even as an adult, must react or respond to that decision. But I'll tell you what the Bible says about children who react to the authority of their parents. There's an idiom used in Proverbs 30, verse 17. Listen carefully to this one. A man who mocks his father and despises his mother shall have his eyes plucked out by the crows and eaten by the vultures. That's an idiom. It's an idiom for a very violent death. The principle is lack of parental respect all but guarantees a violent end. If a child does not learn to obey authority, and if that child does not learn to respect the authority of his parents, then he will never respect the authority of anyone. And more than likely, they will die a violent death, a violent end. Under questionable authority, you may react or respond, but you have to make that decision. And if the authority, you see, if the authority makes a decision in regards to you, let's say if someone's parents, what's the worst that happens? Sometimes they get disciplined for something they didn't do. If there's a lot of kids in the house and the parent says, who did this? And little Johnny says, little Billy did it. And little Billy says, little Johnny did it. And then the parent whips them both because they can't figure out who did what. Well, under those sort of demands, you can react or respond. If you get mad and react and get angry and get bitter because authority made a decision that was wrong, then you're not going to make it in life. Because you're going to be under authority all your life. And authority, this is the thing you have to remember about authority. No parents are perfect. No police officers are perfect. No courts are perfect. We hear about people wrongly convicted every day and ultimately set free. The authority made a mistake. Parents make mistakes. And when a mistake is made in regards to a child, they have to decide whether they're going to get angry and get mad and sulk and swear and slam the door and swear they'll never speak to their parents again, or whether they forgive them. If you react with arrogance, you're going to have a bigger problem. And if you respond with humility, then you will forgive them. Because you will know they made a mistake. You can handle it. You can take it. I can give you a lot of illustrations about this. There are several that I know right off the top of my head. And unfortunately, we're running out of time. But one is about the principal that whipped the kid for not reading in class. He did not realize the kid didn't know how to read. And this was in high school. And he whipped this kid three different times before the kid finally told him, I don't know how to read. That's why I won't read in class. And he just thought the kid was being belligerent. When he realized he had whipped the kid for something that he was innocent of, and he was so apologetic and felt so rotten, but the kid didn't get mad. The kid didn't say he was going to quit school and go get his daddy and sue the school because you whipped me and I didn't do anything wrong. He had enough humility to respond with forgiveness. Arrogance reacts with bitterness, and humility responds with forgiveness. Responding incurs forgiveness. Reacting incurs bitterness. You have to learn to be obedient before you ever have the capacity to enjoy the freedom. You don't have the freedom to be a lawbreaker. That's not what the Bible's telling you. The Bible says there is freedom, but until you have the capacity to enjoy it, you'll never understand it. And it starts with you respecting authority and young people being obedient to authority. Now, I'm going to show you in one of our next radio shows how it only takes four generations of negative volition or kids that are negative to authority to destroy an entire nation. If you come back next week, you'll hear that. But until then, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.